Wake up, goddammit!
Brothers and sisters, we are now about to bring forth a bad brother!
What's happening, Twin Cities? Good morning, wake up! I got my coffee, you got yours? Pulse of the City, every Saturday. Adam West, coming up soon, my guest. In the studio will be Patrice Washington. We'll be catching up with her, chopping it up, and seeing what she's been up to. In the meantime, we're going to get the tunes kicking off with a little bit of Flashlight Parliament. 94.1 WFNU is a volunteer-run station made up of many different community voices. Each program expresses one aspect of that diversity, not the views of WFNU and FNA as a whole.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Oh, well, allow me to retort.
What's happening, Twin Cities? Your main man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. Wake up. Saturdays, 8 a.m. each week, where we discuss the performing arts, arts of all disciplines, the creative process behind the projects that are going on out here in the community, specifically Frogtown, Minneapolis, but you know, we branch out cross country. Speaking of which, in the place to be, an old colleague, an old friend, an old work cohort, we in the trenches of the script. I'd like to welcome to the show Patrice Washington. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Pretty good. It's quite early. Not that I'm not used to getting up early, but not on a Saturday.
Right. Yeah, this is usually the time people are throttling down, maybe just rolling over. I'm trying to catch the peanut butter toast crowd. You know, maybe a little coffee and just happen to hit the button. So what's this?
Okay.
Well, you know, it's a little backstory here about Patrice and I. We worked on a film called In the Garden of Uneven.
Actually, we worked way before that.
Let's take it back. let's take it back. It's been a long time.
I can't even remember what the project was, but I was a script supervisor for an independent film project.
Gucci Boy Productions.
That's how we met. That's right.
Yep. And played a hitman.
That's correct.
Yes. Yes.
That's how we met.
What was the name of that film?
I don't know. I can't remember. Too long ago.
Yeah, but I do remember the production company name, Gucci Boy. It always stuck in my head.
And the guys were great.
Everybody was great. So. And they fed us awesome. Had a nice little house out there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Burnsville.
Yeah.
It was way out. And I was the first time in Burnsville, and I'm like,
Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, definitely. And then, yes, and so we stayed in contact from there.
Yeah.
And then tell me about Garden of Uneven.
We did Garden of Uneven. I wrote that real quick. I think I wrote that in like a weekend. Back when I was childless and it was easy to, you know, just put out create something creative.
Right.
Just really easy. And right. I think I wrote it in a weekend. I was doing something for college. I was taking college independently. Mm-hmm. During my downtime, and someone told me, hey, you should, you know, do a short film as like your calling card, you know. And I was like, yeah, you're right, I should do that. So I just sat
like
down
a, right,
wrote something,
yeah,
in a weekend.
Yeah.
And it actually all came really fast. And then, yeah, I just, you know, put out a little flyer saying, you know, I'm looking for some actors. I was looking for POC, people of color, mm-hmm, specifically. And it wasn't easy to find, but you know, I did it. So, did you audition? Because I can't really remember. I know I had an audition space downtown Minneapolis.
Yep.
And I remember auditioning.
I read for it.
Oh, did you?
Because that's where I ran into Edo.
Okay, because I remember Walker. He was down.
Because Edo Walker played Adam. And that's where he and I were chopping it up at the audition. And he ended up playing Adam, and I ended up being cast as the devil. Seven.
Right, that's
seven,
correct.
Right, yeah. And we had a lot of fun. We had a blast.
Yeah, that was, and we did it in about 2 or 3 weekends. We filmed it in 2 to 3 weekends,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
I remember one weekend you weren't too happy with me because it was like the Valentine's Day weekend.
I remember
and
that.
I think you had plans, and I was like, oh, sorry, we got to film this day. This is.
I had to put that on hold. The pizza got cold that night.
Hey, it's all a part of the craft.
Hey,
sometimes you got to sacrifice.
You do. You do have to sacrifice. Definitely have to sacrifice. Wow. Yeah, it's great seeing it. It's great catching up. Motherhood looks good on you. How's that been?
Actually, motherhood is making me old. But hey, if you say so.
Smarter, right?
Sure. Motherhood is fun. It's interesting. It's nice to see which child has the creative gene or the creative spark.
Mm.
So far, it's my daughter.
Okay.
Who will be 4 next month, and she loves to. She has the other creative gene that I used to dabble in, which was art, drawing, and all that stuff. So she likes doing that stuff. And my son kind of wants to get into that. He's more the technology.
Okay.
He's got the dad side.
Okay.
But he's trying to creep in and show me he can be creative too. He wants to be on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to look at.
And YouTube is like a part time job now.
I know. We're trying to look at doing something with that. So.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, shoot, you might have to sign me up for that class. I've been hearing a lot about it. I've been trying to educate myself on it. Wow, that's really great. So talk about the theme of your work, the other aspects to your art besides the screenwriting. What else do you work on?
Well, right now, writing is my passion. It's always been. That's kind of where everything kind of branched off with. I mean, I started with drawing. I used to want to be a cartoonist back when I was a kid. Mm. And how I got into the whole acting writing thing is kind
of amazing.
Your
favorite
me.
Cartoon that made you want to get into that?
No, I mean, I used to watch everything.
I don't think
I had one that made me want to be a cartoonist.
Yeah.
What really made me want to be a cartoonist was I used to collect Garbage Pail Kids back
then. Okay.
And I used to try to draw those. And that slowly, you know.
Right.
Is what made me want to do cartoons and cartoon characters.
Gotcha.
I used to do that stuff all the time, draw those little
cartoon
characters and make up my own. And then the acting thing, I don't even know how I got bit by the acting bug, to be honest. But then I went to high school for that for a while.
Right.
And I did theater in college for like a little bit, and I was burnt out. Where did I go to college or where did I go to? Well, I started off at the University of Minnesota, and it wasn't the greatest experience, so that's why I kind of left it after 3 years, which I wish now that I would have just stuck it out and just got the theater degree and been done with it.
Right.
But then I wouldn't be where I am now, so I guess it's kind of good.
Everybody's path is carved out different.
Yeah. Well, it made me go out there and create my own, like, path or whatever, you know. Just create my own experiences because it wasn't easy to find like jobs in here, especially in Minnesota when it comes to movie making and things of that nature.
Yeah.
TV and
it's
writing.
Almost like being the part of like the film crew, the the people that build and take apart the sets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are, a lot of those are unionized and streamlined through only one avenue. So it's
kind of like you have to know somebody who knows somebody to get in.
Right.
Where you want to get into.
And theater, I mean, you know, they only do four shows a season.
Although theater is much bigger than filmmaking here. I don't know if it still is because I don't follow it as much, but back then it was really
always
huge.
Will be, I think. I mean, that could be a bit, you know, presumptuous, but the theater, I mean, that was why I moved here originally.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Film and Entity Productions. Where'd you get the title?
If you don't know, now you know. I'm a bit of a film feminist, so everything I do kind of has a bit of a female slant to it because I'm just all about female empowerment.
Represent.
So
I can dig it.
Yeah, I mean everything. Ask my brother. He says I'm too, I'm too much of a feminist. But hey, whatever.
Well, you know, my mom has a picture of Gloria Steinem in the basement of the house, and I remember it used to drive my dad crazy. it was hilarious to watch. So, but yeah. Enough respect to that, definitely.
Yeah. So I mean it leaks into everything I do. So
sure.
Even with writing, whatever.
Right.
I'm usually talking from a female's perspective,
right.
Obviously, because I'm a female myself. But she's never weak, and if she is, she overcomes it. So.
Which is interesting about the Garden of Uneven. Talk
exactly.
About the Eve character.
I mean, with the Eve character, she starts off as weak and unknowing. And in the end, she kind of flips the script, so...
Big time. Yeah, she does. Samantha Dean. Shout out to Samantha Dean.
Yeah. There's a person I haven't spoken to in a very long time, so...
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Now, your poetry.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you knew that. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that. All right. Yeah.
I try to learn to do a little more research each show on my folks.
Oh, see, I didn't even come prepared to talk about that, but
yeah.
I didn't even know
you
knew
that. I'm just being melodramatic about it, but yeah, no, I knew about it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I did that a lot.
I know something very private and very close to you, very personal.
Mm-hmm. All my poetry is personal. I mean... I guess I shouldn't say that. Almost all my writing is personal, but my poetry is especially personal because I take from whatever's going on or however I'm feeling. I haven't written poetry in a while because I've been on this other writing avenue lately. Mm. But I go back and look at that stuff and I'm like, wow, yeah, that's still good. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but...
But toot.
Exactly.
I wish I had a sound effect. I need a producer here. Push the button for me. That was hilarious. How do you separate the two in that process?
Wait a minute. Maybe. Okay. So we did work kind of on the Tomorrow's Morning, which I kind of infused some poetry in that.
Yes. Yes.
Short
and that
film.
Was Kevin
so
Chaos Moore.
That's why you might know a little bit about it, but I completely forgot about that.
No, you. I remember when we were shooting Garden of Uneven, and we're at your house. Like you had your works, you know, displayed in some shape because we were shooting in your room.
Oh yeah,
and I'm nosy.
Actually, it wasn't on display, but somebody found it. I'm a private person, but not. I mean, I'm an open book if you ask me.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't. You know,
are you an open
really,
book?
I think I am.
You just told me to ask you. So.
Yeah. Well.
Good night, everybody.
Oh,
see you
God.
Next week.
Keep your day job, Adam.
Yeah.
But you know, I think I had it out in my room, and I came downstairs and I seen people reading it. And I'm like, oh, oops.
Yeah.
But you know, it's all good. I mean,
it was really great.
It's poetry is meant to be read. Whether somebody accidentally comes across it or you present it to them,
right?
It's all
but
right.
what's the process like? Because you say it's really personal,
yeah.
And you say it's all your writing's personal.
Yeah.
So you know, a script and then poetry. Like, is it a conscious thought to make that different slant towards the way you're trying to write it? Or is it just an unconscious effort where you're just able to naturally separate, okay, this is this poetry slant has more of a intertwined to a personal note that is deeper than I would normally put into to a script? Is it something that you think about? Is it just happen?
I can't say that it's something that I think about on a surface level. It's more of a subconscious. For some reason, my mind just knows, okay, if I'm writing poetry, it's always personal. If I'm writing a script or I'm writing a narrative piece or a prose piece, it will have some of my personal, I don't know, experiences or something about me infused in it. Whether it's a, let's see, what can I think of right now? Garden of an Eden. I am not a religious person, but I've always had the curiosity and the questions. So, I mean, we can go with that as far as a personal level on that script.
Gotcha.
So. So it was written because I have this curiosity about those specific two.
Right.
I don't know if I want to say characters in
the
Bible.
Well, that makes sense, because you kind of have to write with more of an intention with the script. You know, it has to have an end goal to play to. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And with Tomorrow's Morning, that was strictly an idea that my cousin had, and I just infused my poetry and then some stuff that I wrote to it. I didn't experience what those characters were experiencing. The only part that I was connected to was the poetry part. So,
no doubt. We got plenty more here with Patrice Washington. You are locked into 94.1 FM, Frogtown Community Radio, WFNU. It's your main man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. This is how we do every Saturday. Keep it locked. In the spirit of feminism, gonna hit you with a little bit of cha-cha-cha. MC Light.
Cha-cha-cha to this Mardi Gras. I'm the dopest female that you've heard thus far, and I do get better. The voice gets wetter, nobody gets hurt
as long as you let her
do my thing with an 89 swing. The dopeness I write, a guaranteed delight to the hip-hop maniac, the uptown brainiac in full effect. MC Light is back and better than before, as if that was possible. My competition, you'll find them in the hospital. Visiting time, I think it's on a Sunday, but no, they only get one day to shine. The rest of the week is mine, and I'll blind you with the signs that the others have yet to find. So come along and I'll lead you the right way. Just clap your hands to the words I say. Come on. Kick, 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 kick this one. Kick this one here for me and my DJ. I got the power to spit out and devour at the same time. I'll eat you up with a rhyme, but I let you slide because you accidentally hopped on the wrong side. Now come on, that's suicide. Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say you didn't know what you were doing. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing. Well, 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 I'll be damned. I might as well tell you who I am. I am the capital L-Y-T-E, and it's shocking, I'm the one you're mocking. Oh yes, I've been watching you, watching me like the fat on your back. It's plain to see that you're a wannabe, but you can't be what you're not. So you better start living with what you got. Kick, kick this one here for me and my DJ. JK Rock, let me hear a scratch. Now it's time to kick a rhyme out the patch, and you're the receiver, eager as a beaver. Time to convert the non-believer that I'm a roadrunner, leaving you in the dust. I can't adjust to the times, and at times I might just get quicker than the ticker of your pacemaker. More tender than a roly, but harder than a jawbreaker. So don't ever second guess me. And if you're wondering who could the best be, think a second and recollect the worst whipping you ever had yet. And I'll bet that I did it. My fingerprints are still on you. How many times I gotta warn you about the light? It'll blind your sight, but the rhythm will still guide you through the night. Kick, 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 kick.
styles, with your black hair and your fat thighs. Street poetry is my everyday, but yo, I gotta stop when you drop my weight. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Borg from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. You got DVD all on your bedroom wall, but I'm above the rim and this is how I ball. A gritty little something on the New York street. This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out, but sex was on my mind for the whole damn route. My mind was in a frenzy in a horny state, but I couldn't drop rhymes cause you couldn't relate.
Relax yourself, girl, be set clear.
You couldn't relate.
Relax yourself, girl, be set clear.
You couldn't relate.
Relax yourself, girl, be set clear. Relax yourself, girl, be set clear. Relax yourself, girl, be set clear. Relax yourself, girl, be set clear.
Stretch out your legs, let me make you ball. Drive you insane, drive you up a wall. Staring at your dome piece, very strong. Stronger than pride, stronger than Teflon. Take you on the Ave and you buy me links. Now I want a pound of until it stinks. You could be my mama and I'll be your boy.
I read you're not a road boy, never am I coy. You could be a shorty in my ill convoy. Not to come across as a thug or a hood. Whoa. But hun, you got the goods like Madeline Wood. By the way, my name's Malik, the 5 foot freak. They say we get together by the end of the week. She simply said no, label me a. I said, how you figure? My friends tell me so. I hate when silly groupies wanna run their yap. Word to God, hun, I don't get down like that.
I'll have you weak in the knees that you can hardly speak. Or we could do like Uncle Ella swinging up in my Jeep. Keep it on the down, yo, we keep it discreet. See, I'm not the type of kid to have my biz in the streets.
If my mom don't approve, then I'll just elope. Let me save the little man from inside the boat. Let me hit it from the back, girl, I won't catch a hernia. Off on your couch, now you got Siemens furniture.
Shy he fight for the extra P. Stacy Beetle, PJ, and my man LG. They know the ass jack is really so on ice. The character is of man, never ever a mice. Shorty, let me tell you about my only vice. It has to do with lots of loving, and it ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself, girl, be set.
It ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself, girl, be set.
It ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself, girl, be set.
What's happening, Twin Cities? Your man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. I just love to let that beat just ride out there in the beginning. Classic, classic beat from Kendrick Lamar. Patrice Washington, my guest today on Pulse of the City. Thank you again for joining us today, miss.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. So, now that we're all caught up, what's going on now?
What's going on now? Well,
the writer, the filmmaker, the what the where's that at?
Well, I'm always writing, whether it's something that I put out to the public or not. I'm always writing something.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am really into literary nonfiction, which is crafting a story around news, whether current or past, because I went back to college and I got a degree in journalism and mass communications.
Nice.
And it's not because I want to be a journalist per se, but I do like telling stories, whether those stories are made up or actually happened true to life.
That's really cool.
I still like making them. And so I discovered a new passion that I like, which is, like I said, literary journalism, which is actually crafting a story from a current or past story. But
that's
when
true.
A person, that's true.
Right.
But when a person reads it, it sounds like a story. It's told like a story.
Right.
And not like just straight facts.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. That's okay, so what's that process like? Like, you know, what's your slant when you first approach?
Well, I obviously have to be interested in the
What are you interested in?
In the news story. Yeah, you know, it has to catch my...
There's a lot to choose from. Trump.
Definitely
Trump,
a lot to choose from. I stay clear of him as far as my creativity goes. I only speak about him when it comes to me ranting and raving on social media or something.
Right.
I'm
just saying, I turn the TV on and I can't escape his face.
I know.
It's going to be that way for a while.
We can escape him right now.
Yes.
We don't have to talk
he
about
doesn't,
him right
He's
now.
Not
he
welcome does, on the Pulse of the City.
Yeah.
You know, and those views and opinions were expressed by me, not WFNU or FNA as a whole.
Although I'm sure I agree with how Adam feels. So, but like I wrote a couple things from past news stories. There's something I'm kind of working on. I'm also into flash fiction, which I got into during my time of discovering what my creativity process is like. I don't know if you've ever heard of flash fiction, but it's usually a work of fiction that is no more than 1,000 words.
Okay.
So you have to put everything in your story, everything about your story, beginning, middle, end, and it has to be in 1,000 words.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it a lot. So I've done
deadline.
Some
Holy
of that.
Smokes.
Wow.
I mean, maybe it's the wrong word, but it's like
it makes you get to the heart of the story or the root
point.
Of the story. Yeah,
right.
And do it creatively.
It's a great exercise,
you know. So, yeah. I've actually done quite a bit of that, and hopefully, I'll put a book together.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I'm looking towards.
How would you describe your voice?
How would I describe my voice? I wouldn't say that I'm preachy, but it's for some reason it's always got a message no matter what and I can't seem to I can't seem to not put a message in whatever I do.
Okay.
So it's always got some type of social commentary.
Mm.
Reflecting
some of the things that you think about,
whether it's about being black, whether it's about being a woman, whether it's just about living in this world that we're in and all the crazy things that if you pay attention to other news stories that have nothing to do with Mr. Trump, then you'll see how wild it is out here.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah. My stuff is always socially conscious in some way. Mm-hmm. So
no doubt. Yeah. That's one of my favorite parts about being an actor, with your style, is that being the window of the playwright's or the writer's mind, being the window to the audience is fulfilling, and being able to translate it in the realness that you intended when it was written, and then to appeal to it in the realness that would be credible and make sense to the person watching it.
That's funny that you say that, because the reason why I got into filmmaking was because I didn't trust that somebody would be able to interpret my words the way that I would. And that's what drew me to filmmaking. Which now, I mean, as I'm older, I'm not so tied to my work in that way.
Right.
But it's kind of funny how.
Yeah. It's a protective thing, you know.
Yeah. I definitely had to learn to stop being so overprotective of myself.
Yeah. I've had a lot of rehearsals where the playwright's been in the room, and then the director will make a suggestion. You know, can we cut this whole page? And then the look on the playwright's face and
it's like a punch to the gut.
yeah, you know, and it, but it's just, I guess it's just like a muscle over time. The more The more times you put it out there, the more you get used to it. Okay, it's just the process of, you know, but that's a good exercise, like what you were talking about with the writing, where you can only do in a certain amount of words.
Right.
It almost prepares you for that part of time in rehearsal, where it's like, can we get rid of this? Can we cut this? Can we say, yeah, we can actually.
I had that with The Garden of Uneven. Yeah. When I wrote it, it was, I think it was roughly almost 30 pages, which, speaking in filmmaking terms, every page is a minute. And the person that I was working with, my, I guess, mentor, so to speak, at the time, was like, we should cut this down. And I was like, what? Everything that's on the page is meant to be on the page. There's, if I cut that, I don't know how that's going to make the story. But we did it. Yeah. I think we cut it down to like 23 minutes. I think, I'm not positive.
Sounds about
but,
right. Sounds
but
about
yeah,
right.
it's somebody telling you, you got to cut this out or cut this down. And you're the writer. It's
right.
like,
yeah,
you're thinking everything that's there on that paper is what I want there. I can't move anything. This isn't Tetris. This isn't.
So what are rewrites like then for you when you've had a day of cuts and then the next day? Okay. What are rewrites like?
Rewriting for me is basically I write it. I look at, you know, you put it aside for a little bit and you think about things. You come back to it, you read it, and you're like, that's not that necessary. It doesn't really right. add to the story, and that's how that works.
Gotcha.
You know, you cut things out that way.
Right.
But
go back and kind of refresh the palette and look at it from a
different perspective.
Yeah.
Or you have somebody else take a look at it that you trust, and they give you some good...
Is that a non-artistic, artistic... person? Does it matter?
Like... actually, there's a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine that I've known forever. And usually when I'm writing stuff, she's the first person that I will... She doesn't even live in the state. And she's the first person I send my stuff to. Like, hey, can you read this over and tell me what you think? And no, she's not an artistic person by any stretch of the word.
And that's the best. Because that's the responses you get are like in its truest form.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
You know,
so.
Coming from a completely different, you know, thought process.
Right. They're not going to be biased or want to add their own creative stamp.
Right. Well, I think it. You should put a hat
yeah.
on when it comes in.
So it's good to have somebody that is far removed. They know you as a person.
Yeah.
But they're far removed from like just... I don't want to say creativity in general, but yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
So therefore, when they're looking at it, it's with the most purest set right. of eyes.
Yeah, definitely. So. Definitely. So it sounds like there's a lot of experimentation going on with expanding the learning in different ways to write, different ways to approach the pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's been, it's a full experience. You know, I think at the end of it, what are you looking to, you know, pull from all of it? And is there an end goal, or is this just a part of, you know, what you do and your everyday walk of life?
Well, first and foremost, writing will always be
right.
a part of me. It's like a second job, pretty much.
Right.
Well, actually, I'll say it's a third job. My kids are second.
Yes.
Yes. But and my real job is my first job because, you know, I got to get that money.
Yes.
But so yeah, writing is a third job. It's something that I have to do, whether I want to or not. It's just I have to do it.
Right.
It's I don't think it'll ever leave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see myself doing more with it, obviously. Like I said, I'm working on a book of sorts for the literary nonfiction work, specifically geared towards some things that have been happening in the news within the last, I would say... 5 years, although it was happening prior to that, but it's I'm looking forward to putting that out. And
yeah, putting the conscience out there.
Yeah, I also have an idea for a novel series that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. So there's just lots of things I want to do. Yeah, so
definitely, definitely.
I would have to say the only thing we talked about how my feelings or my life is always infused in my work, but I think T-Spot, which is something I did many moons ago, is probably the only thing that did not, well, you know what, maybe it did, because it was all about my likes. I liked music, I liked theater, I liked improv, I liked acting, so I guess that kind of
well, it was all infused in yeah, one. And what a great thing. And it was inspired, I thought. I know we talked and we laughed a lot about In Living Color.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, that kind of being the parallel that we were drawing with that show.
T-Spot was a good time, and it was a crazy time, but it was a good time.
So. Well, you know, as I sit here and trying to fool with this camera and record video that I should have started recording many, many minutes ago. T-Spot for me, it was like a comedy, improv, sketch.
It's comedy, improv, sketch, spoken word, music, all in one show. So
yeah, and where did we perform that show?
Bryant Lake Bowl Theater.
Okay. I had the picture in my head, I just couldn't put the title to it.
Yeah.
What a great time.
I did that for 1 year, yeah, actually. I think I was off for like, we did it for 6 months. I think we did it for 6 months. We took like a break over the summer and then did it for the rest of the year, mm-hmm, with a whole different cast.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The initial cast that I started out with, we did it from January of, oh, I don't even want to say the years because I can't even remember, to be honest. And it was that long ago.
Well, I know when I was there, it was like 2006.
You did it, I think, like during, I think you did it during the first run.
Yeah. Yep. The very first run. Yeah. Yep. And it was down there at the Bryant Lake Bowl. And out right after that, I had moved to California, mm-hmm, to do the La La Land hustle. And yeah. And so I would come back and forth, and we would stay connected, talking about the T-Spot. And actually, we had tried to bring the T-Spot portion,
right,
branch it out to the public access channel in LA.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's, yeah, right. That's, yeah, right. I remember that.
And boy, was that a zoo.
Did that go, or should we talk off air about that?
it's actually a good story. I've relived it enough times in my head, I know how to edit it now.
Okay.
so yeah, the T-Spot, when I went out there, I started working at an ice cream shop, and met this dude named Chris. And Chris was just a character, not like theater background, but he just was a character, and he was somebody to help run the camera while I would be out hobnobbing and doing the mouthpiece part,
yeah,
you know what,
yeah,
I mean. And so we had a little team, you know, we had a little team, and it was cool. And then he introduced me to a friend named Blake, and Blake had anger issues.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. If he didn't have his medicine, and we lived in California, so like, I remember seeing this dude, just all of a sudden everything would be quiet, and all of a sudden, and there's a hammer in the wall. Like, this dude was out there.
Now, who was he as part of your team?
Okay, well, he basically housed the events.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So if we needed the computer and access and the speakers and everything, we went to his house, right?
Okay.
But the issue is he had also had a girlfriend who was 7 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just there too much. Towards the end, that's what all boiled over, you know? But during the good time, we would go down downtown, and we would take the camera and we would, you know, interview people and talk to people about random stuff, or we'd do little silly skits in the garage, et cetera, et cetera. And then so we went to the Public Access Channel in Sherman Oaks, and we would start putting this stuff on air, and we would, you know, do it once a month, and we did it for goodness. It started out at this T-Spot. We did two episodes of that, and then working with those guys, it changed because we were starting to hang out down in the city a lot. And then Pulse of the City came into my head, right? And so it changed to Pulse of the City, and then we're doing all this and that, and it went on for a while. But eventually all good things come to an end. We're at Taboo Lounge on Ventura Boulevard, and my cameraman Chris was with the talent out on the patio enjoying things that are not supposed to be enjoyed indoors, right? and the residue of that invaded our space at the Taboo nightclub. The owner noticed this residue, and we lost the gig that night. So Chris and I got in a fight 2 days later. I broke my foot.
Oh, geez.
And then from there, things just kind of really went downhill. I felt like, Trading Places, Dan Aykroyd in that Santa suit. Like, that's how I would describe the last 6 months in L.A., me living there. that was the T-Spot to the Pulse of the City to the, and now it's been revamped, and here we are.
Wow. Well, that was definitely not the vision I had for the T-Spot in LA.
It took a hard left.
It really did.
Oh yeah. Yes, definitely. Wow.
That was That was totally different. But hey, you know, whatever works for you, I guess.
You know, I've left no stone unturned. I like to look at it from a positive spin. So, but let me ask you this, bringing it back to relevancy. In light of everything that's going on right now, in this crazy, you know, world that we live in, I know there's not a single most thing that you could centerpiece on in order to shake up the dialogue that's going on. Like, what dialogue would you like to focus on most in your work? Is there one that really sticks out for you?
Well, what has been really weighing heavily, I guess, on my mind, because I have a son who's black, 8 years old,
right.
and the fact that we've had this, not that it hasn't happened, like I said before, we've had this wave of just our brothers just being shot for no reason, you know.
Yeah.
You know, complying, and just still, you know, dying. And that is a piece that I am working on. I'm working on something to that effect with all the I don't even know how to put it to where it doesn't sound like another black person talking about, you know.
Rageful question mark. You know, justifiable, rageful question marks.
It definitely is justifiable.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people want us to shut up about it. So I'll just put pen to paper and let my pen do the talking.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's right.
That's very brave of you, very courageous. And you know, and thank you for, you know, your contributions. And I look forward to the future ones, definitely.
Yeah.
Where can the people keep an eye out, get in contact with you, chop it up, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I'm all over social media. So you can at me at TW Pulp which is TWPULP, which is short for my website, The Washington Pulp, which is a play on The Washington Post. But yeah, so I'm everywhere. Instagram.
Everywhere.
Snapchat, Twitter, yes, Facebook.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
So you can find me.
All right. Well, you're welcome back anytime. You got anything, you want to talk about, any new ideas, et cetera, et cetera. You're always welcome back. It's like Mr. West's neighborhood.
I appreciate that. No doubt. I look forward to eventually coming back one day.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, Twin Cities, each week, this is how we do Pulse of the City, serving your Frogtown area. Shout out to Frogtown. Get out and get you something good today. Until next time, it's your man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. My guest, like to thank Patrice Washington for being here. Until next time, take it easy. Peace.
Peace out.
Ladies and gentlemen and lowlifes, it is with outstanding pleasure that we are here to present tonight Slick Rick the Ruler and MC Ricky D doing their smash hit Mona Lisa. You know, like the picture. Anyway, I'd like to take this time out to bow before His Divine Majesty. Oh, Your Majesty. Mm-hmm. Can I kiss your hand?
Mm-hmm. Enough. Come, Your Highness. They await you.
Well, it was one of those days.
Not much to do.
I was chilling downtown
with my old school crew.
I went into a store
to buy a slice of pizza.
I bumped into a girl.
Hey, Mona, what?
Mona Lisa.
What?
Mona Lisa, so many. You know what I'm saying? So I said,
excuse me, dear.
My gosh, you look nice.
Put away your money.
I'll buy a slice.
She said, thanks. I'd rather a slice of you.
I'm just kidding, but that's awfully nice of you. The compliment showed she had a mind in her. And when I smiled, I almost blinded her.
She said, wait, Scott, are you a thief? Seems like you have a mouthful of gold teeth.
Ha ha ha, I had to find that funny, so I said, no child, I work hard for the money. And calling me a thief, please, don't even try it.
Right?
I said, I need to slice a pizza and be quiet. She almost got cut short.
You know, scissor.
She tried to disrespect who?
The Grand Wizard.
Me?
What's your name, sir?
MC Ricky D, but not to be so harsh, I said to Mona Lee.
Hey. Oh, I'm sorry, and I know that's low class.
Please sit, yeah. Tell me a little about your past.
She said, well, I got courage, and I don't like courage. Uh-huh. I've never been to college, but I've got crazy knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Over 18, and my eyes are green.
Uh-huh.
I wear more gold than that man on 18.
Uh-huh.
Trim, slim, and I'm also light skin. Best believe Mona's a virgin.
A virgin?
Honey needed a swag.
She tried to tell me she's a virgin.
With a yay white gap.
I said, it don't matter, see, I'm not picky.
What?
Let me spell my name out for you, it's Ricky.
Yeah.
R.
Ravishing.
R.
Impressive.
Outrageous or careless.
Yay.
For the Kangos, which I've got, that I wear every day.
And why?
Why not?
Suffice not right that I recite tonight.
Quite polite like Walter Cronkite.
Well, just about then, Trevor, my friend, came in. He said,
hey, Rick, don't you know playing with these snakes is a sin?
He grabbed me by my shirt and pulled me right out the store, he said.
I don't want to see you playing with these blowlights no more. Now come along, we have a party to attend with some real mature women and some more of our friends.
He held down a cab and he waited for a minute, and as the cab came, he thrusted me in it.
And as we were leaving,
it was not long,
I could hear a melody as Mona sang a song.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry,